Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
And welcome back to another Co-Opticast. This is Co-Opticast, episode number 41 for Monday, April the 19th, 2010. And we're in a bit of a pickle here with our recording. We're a day late and a dollar short, I think, as the saying goes. But we're still going to bring some top-notch entertainment to you this evening.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's the plan. So we're going to jump right into it, into our What You've Been Playing segment. And Mike, what have you been playing?
Well, I am, at last I checked, I'm about 34 hours into Final Fantasy XIII. It is a completely different game than the one I started playing, mostly for the better. But a lot of the reviews that said that it, you know, it takes a while to get the training wheels off. We're not kidding. It took, I think I was either 23 or 24 hours in by the time I was actually able to select my own party and choose their jobs at will.
Jesus.
But I've really been enjoying the game. The biggest difference as far as, you know, any other Final Fantasy game goes is that the combat in this is actually quite difficult, in that most enemies, if you're not paying attention, can actually kill you. So rather than, you know, running around bashing scrubs forever, oftentimes you have to use a specific strategy to beat enemies and whatnot. So I'm enjoying it, and I don't know if I'd be able to recommend it for anybody that doesn't think they're going to be able to put up with the first half of the game. So there's that. But I'm digging it. I'm finding the story's starting to lose a little bit of its focus right now, but the game is pretty much open world at this point, so we'll see what happens. I played Din's Curse, that indie game, indie action RPG, for PC and Mac with Jason, and it's really fun. Wrote a review of it. You should check it out. See if it's up your alley. I can say if you're a fan of roguelike games, and also a fan of Diablo, but didn't think Diablo went quite far enough as far as its inspiration does, you should probably check this out, and it's cool. I dug it. Gave it a good review. Played Final Fight Double Impact, which is really fun, and playing in the arcade cabinet mode is a hoot. The only real problem I had with it is that it seems to be rather fickle in giving a online connectivity out. It's, for whatever reason, maybe it's my own fault or not, I could not figure for the life of me how to start to get two players in a lobby and start a game. I always had to have someone join me, other than split screen, of course. Or shared screen in this case. But it's fun. Magic Sword is not quite what I remembered it to be, but it had been a very long time since I'd played it. But as far as retro re-releases, that's probably the best one I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I picked that up as well over the weekend, and I had never played Magic Sword. I was talking to a buddy, we were discussing some programming stuff we wanted to do, and I was just kind of like playing it and talking, and I was like, man, you need to pick this up. This game is really cool. And like before I knew it, like I think there's 43 levels.
50. There's 50 levels. There's 50 floors of the dungeon. It tells you that there's 50 floors of the dungeon.
I want to say, I'm pretty sure it's an odd number. I did it three times. So
well, there's the first level, and then there's the 50 levels of the dungeon. So, you know, the first level's getting to the dungeon, then you go up 50 floors.
All right,
and there might be an optional room or two in there, which might add to it. But it's like 51 or 53 or something like that.
But, yeah, before I knew it, I had blown through the game once, and I was like, well, that was pretty cool. Now I got to do it in co-op. And then me and a buddy proceeded to do it in co-op twice, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I like the whole little, like, AI partner thing and how they can, like, level up with you and all that stuff. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the only thing I have against that game is when you're playing in co-op and you both have partners, it's kind of impossible to tell what the hell's going on.
Yeah, like, what we were doing is we'd be like, okay, I take the high road, you take the low road, basically. Yeah. And that was how we kind of keep separated and take out the baddies.
Yeah. And I also played through the new Kasumi DLC for Mass Effect 2, which is, it's pretty fun. I'm not quite sure it's worth the $7, but Kasumi's a pretty neat character, and I can't call Shepard anything but Shep now.
I'll have to check it out. I haven't, yeah. Is that the one that adds the vehicles or not?
No, that's the one that adds the new character with her loyalty mission and stuff, and yep. She has the most badass ability of anybody in the entire game. She can stealth and reappear behind an enemy and pretty much instant kill them. Yeah, unfortunately, it's what she starts with, so you can't steal it with the ability it lets you take a teammate's skill. But that's pretty much what I've been playing. The rest of it's been the baby game.
Yeah, I've been playing a little bit of the Scourge Project on PC. That did finally come out, and I've been getting my hands on that. And when Jason did the preview of it, he had told me, he's like, it's pretty good, and it has a lot of neat concepts. He's like, but it just doesn't feel like a PC game. And, you know, it's kind of hard to put a finger on exactly what it is, but it really does. I don't think third-person action games lend themselves well to mouse and keyboard controls, unless it's a really tight control scheme. Like, the whole in-and-out-of-cover kind of thing and stuff, it's too floaty with a mouse and keyboard. So I think that's definitely part of it. But it's pretty fun. Graphically, it's really well done. The characters are semi-interesting. The voice acting's pretty atrocious.
Of course.
But it would be
a PC game without that.
It is a European game. It was made in Spain, so I'm guessing it's not top-rate actors for that release. I'm guessing the Spanish one might be a little better.
Treat it as a foreign film, then.
What else have I been playing? Splinter Cell Conviction, both the single player and co-op. It is most excellent. Really enjoying that. The co-op modes, especially outside of the co-op campaign, are a lot of fun for especially like replay value kind of stuff. A lot of interesting things happen in that. Also played some ODST on Friday night for Halo Waypoint night. And we spent about an hour and a half, maybe less, getting all of the audio logs, and then proceeded to lose them by quitting out and trying to start up the next mission to get the final one.
That's funny because I was talking to Jason, and he was telling me about it, and that's exactly how I got my 30. I was doing the same thing, but apparently it's a co-op bug.
Yeah, it doesn't work in co-op because when you try and skip missions in co-op, it basically wants you to start a new co-op campaign.
Yeah.
So
work to the wise, get your 29 in co-op, then do a data hive on your own, I guess.
Well, no, that won't even work because the co-op is separate in that case. So you'd start up a new single-player one instead.
Right.
you basically, to do it in co-op, you have to run straight through it in co-op.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's lame.
Indeed.
But
anyway,
I will lord my achievement over you for another couple months.
Yeah, I don't know if I have the will to go back and get it. And what sucks is, like, I really did it because I did want to listen to the audio logs. And because we were doing it in co-op, we really didn't take the time to listen to them, so I was going to go back and do it. And I missed out on that, too.
You want to know what's crazy? Is if you listen to all of them in a row, it's like an hour and a half of audio.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I sat there, I'm like, I got them all. I only listened to the first few, and I was like, oh, I'm going to wait until I have everything to take a listen at these. And I got them all, and I sat there, and I had to keep waking my Xbox up from dimming the screen.
Uh-huh.
Because it took so long. It's a pretty cool story, so.
Yeah, I mean, when
it actually gives a lot of context to some of the things you do in the game.
Yeah, when I played through the game the first time, I wasn't really looking for them, so I think I only got like 14. And I did listen to them at that time, and I really liked what I heard. And I did get the context of, you know, what was going on within the story, but I know I missed a bunch of stuff I'd like to hear about. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to our new segment. And there's been a lot of big news in co-op. Some really good stuff, some really big franchises getting co-op modes, some franchises getting a new a sequel. Probably... the biggest news would be, I would say, the Gears of War 3 announcement, which everyone kind of...
No one plays that game.
Which everyone kind of knew was happening, but actually, I think, wasn't it on our last podcast, we talked about how it was leaked, but then it... Or it was supposed to be announced that Monday or something like that on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Yeah.
I think it was the last... And...
Maybe we talked. No, it, I think we said that it was going to be announced on the Thursday.
That's right, and then it got moved.
Yep.
Yeah, so it was supposed to be announced on a Thursday, and then it got bumped into the following Monday. But over the after that Thursday time slot, it must have had like an auto timer on the Xbox dashboard or something, and then it came on. It's like Gears of War 3 announced now, and everyone was like, "No, didn't happen yet.
Someone got fired."
Yeah, so bad news there for that person, but good news for everybody else. Best news, too, for us. Finally, a four-player co-op campaign.
Finally.
One of the interesting things is, I don't know if you saw, they said that you won't always be playing as Marcus and Dom and Baird and Cole.
Well, they added, you know, it makes sense because they added that female character and said she's playable, so that's at least a stock of five.
Well, Cliff Bleszinski actually said is you play as a completely different squad. You're not even in Delta squad for part of it.
Right, right.
So that should be interesting. Did you see the whole stink about Anya and why she's why she is playable?
No.
Okay, so this is a feminist thing. You know, there's big clamor and uproar to have female playable characters, and that's fine and dandy. But the story of it goes, it's because humanity is basically on the brink of extinction. The reason we haven't seen women
is because they're all used for breeding.
Exactly.
That is the mythos.
Exactly.
And Anya is sterile or otherwise incapable, and therefore she fights.
So a lot of the female types are in uproar over this, but the big ironic thing about this whole thing is the Gears of War, the story, is actually penned by a woman, Karen Travis, who wrote The Fields of Something is the name of the one Gears of War book, as well as a bunch of Star Wars books. She's a pretty popular sci-fi author. So she wrote this. So there's kind of this big uproar over this by feminists, like, oh my god, you can't do this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, this is a cheesy male sci-fi kind of a thing anyway. You got these big, hunky, you know, muscular dudes and all this kind of stuff. It's like, just chill. It's not that big of a deal.
I mean, you watch any, you know, end of the world scenario type thing, and there's always the, you know, the aspect of we need to repopulate the human race. You know, hand me the nearest fertile woman. So that, you know, that's kind of a cliche in its own right. So I don't know.
Exactly.
It's Gears of War. It's not high art.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
You chainsaw bitches. They're, you know, you cut. You stick a chainsaw up someone's butt and cut them in half. I mean, you're expecting a statement on, you know, gender roles in this game? No.
Yeah.
I appreciate the sentiment, and yeah, it is kind of, you know, lame, you know, that they, you know, they reduced female roles to that. But come on, if just vote with your dollar if you don't like it.
Moving on.
Yes. Please.
The other great co-op news was Dead Rising 2, confirmed to have a two-player co-op campaign, or actually two-player co-op throughout the entire campaign, drop in and drop out. Both players play as Chuck, who is the lead character, but it's very customizable. They were showing screenshots of like what you can do to your character, and not only can you wear different outfits and stuff, like there's completely like... There's helmets and accessories and all this other crazy stuff.
I want to dress like the lumberjack.
Yeah, like the pictures they had of the characters, you know, you're not going to have a problem comparing who's on the screen. They also revealed a bunch of new things with the weapon system. Like, we knew you can combine stuff for weapons. Like, the one that was the pole
was like a javelin and a chainsaw or something like that to make like a.
It was a paddle from a rowboat.
That's
and
it.
A chainsaw duct taped together.
Yeah, so they showed that and stuff, but they kind of gave some context of how it's going to happen in the game, in that you'll get inspiration from like magazines and movie posters and things like that. And when you find that, you'll automatically know like some of the good combos of things to make. But that's not like a limitation. You can still, anything you pick up, you can try and combine to make, a new weapon. One of the favorite ones I saw, and they gave it a great name too, is a teddy bear and a machine gun, and they call it the Freedom Bear.
Yeah.
So that looks pretty interesting.
It looks great. And, you know, one of the best things about the original game was finding all the weird outfits to dress Frank in.
Right.
So I really appreciate that they're carrying that over into the sequel and letting, you know, you dress up Chuck. I think my personal favorite outfit was the child-sized superhero outfit that he stretches on over himself. It looked pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
And there were some, like, Groucho Marx goggles and all kinds of weird stuff. And then, you know, there's the moose head that we've seen.
Yeah, we all love the moose head.
Yes. I'm really looking forward to that, because I dug the first game, but I really would have preferred it to have co-op, because the game itself wasn't interesting enough to keep me playing, if that makes sense. Like, I enjoyed the zombies, and I enjoyed, you know, running them down, but the bosses were all, like, ridiculously difficult.
It was traditional Capcom bosses.
Yeah, it's like, I played to the point where you, like, there's the dudes in the Humvee outside, and I was fighting the controls to try and beat that boss, and said, screw it,
yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah,
you know, I think I died, like, 15 times, and, like, I'm not restarting and, you know, keeping my stats and everything.
Well, yeah, and the worst part was the save system, where basically you couldn't, like, if you saved it at a point where you were kind of, like, low on health and the time was kind of screwy, because there was, like, the whole race against the clock kind of aspect of it, too.
Yeah.
You were basically screwed, because you had the one save slot, and that was it, so.
Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter was pretty much the same type of thing. It's a JRPG, but you can restart and keep your stats, and it changes the world a bit.
Uh-huh.
It's a cool system. I kind of liked it, but it, as far as just... I wanted to run through that mall and just kill zombies creatively. And trying to wrap a weird esoteric save system around it really hampered the enjoyment. You know, if they had allowed that option, sure. You know, start over, new game plus with all your, you know, abilities. And,
yeah.
You know, suplex the hell out of a zombie or... whatever else he could do in that game, sure, I get it. But let me play through the game the first time before you start making it pretty obvious that you want me to start over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I loved the game. It had problems.
Yeah, it was a fun sandbox, and that was about it. As a game, it kind of fell short, but as the sandbox, it was kind of what people wanted.
Yeah.
So, moving on. Some other big co-op news. Another sequel announced, Fear 3. This time, it's you. You play as the same main character that's been in the other Fear games, and then
first Fear game,
I should say.
Man.
And then you play as one of, I think it's almost her first child, the guy.
Yes, or her youngest child, I believe.
Yeah, that's the player two character, and so they're kind of vastly different. The one is, you know, all about guns and his little power, and then. The other guy's more of a support character with powers and stuff like that.
I just want to know how they're going to reconcile the end of Fear 2.
Did you play that game? I never completed it, no.
Spoilers ahoy, but the game's a year old at this point. Yeah. The game ends with you being raped by Alma and impregnating her.
Well, you did. Well, you heard that. I don't know if you read a little article on it about the whole thing about Alma's labor is tied to the game.
Yeah.
Basically. So
stop it or whatever.
Well, no, what it is like, so as she is in labor and having birthing pains, like with every contraction, it spawns stuff in the game world. So like you'll hear her like scream in pain and stuff, and then a portal or whatever opens up, and these like werewolves come flying out at you and stuff like that.
The implications of that are horrifying.
it sounds just like creepy, nasty, and like something you don't really want to think about while playing.
Yeah, well, you know, Dante's Inferno had, you know, vag monsters and all kinds of fun stuff, yeah. Right?
Yeah, they had the little babies with sickle arms that came out of the woman's nipples. So that was pretty disturbing.
Amazing. But yeah, you know, Fear 2 was good. I don't know if I wanted a third one after the ending of that. I thought it would be a really interesting way to just end it. And it changed hands to Day One Studios, right? It used to be Monolith put the games together.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. I can only hope that this means that Monolith is occupied otherwise by developing a modern-day sequel to Shogo.
Yes.
It is the only acceptable reason for Monolith to not be making this game. I will not accept any other product they try and sell. Shogo was completely awesome, and it needs an update. And yeah, the mech stuff in Fear 2 was cool, but it was no Shogo.
I'm surprised we haven't seen that on Steam or Good Old Games or something. I'm trying to think who. I mean, I think it was almost self-published, right? Maybe it was Interplay that published that.
I can check. All I know is that my copy of the game does not run natively on Windows. Even it didn't even work on XP.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. And another game with a pseudo co-op mode that was announced, but it is a big game. It does have some potential. And that's Red Dead Redemption. It's going to have an 8-player co-op mode, basically similar to GTA 4's free roam mode, but with a little more structure to it. They said that there's going to be basically like mini missions that you can pick up. There's things that are going to be happening in the game world kind of dynamically as you and your posse are hampering around there. You know, you might see like a stagecoach getting robbed or something by another gang of AI guys, and you can kind of stop that, and you'll get rewarded with experience and stuff. There's hunting missions, actually. I guess hunting plays a big role in the game, collecting skins and stuff for money, bear skins and raccoon skins and stuff like that. So there's a couple screenshots out there of like the posse fighting these like bears and stuff. And
see the open world hunting stuff sounded to me like they need to take this style of game and apply it to the Oregon Trail.
It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I gotta get that rare bear so my daughter doesn't die of dysentery. You know.
Don't take the ox in the river. No, don't cross the river. Oh.
Wait till it's only a foot and a half deep before you attempt to ford it.
So anyway, that looks promising. You know, it's sad we still don't have a true co-op Western, but
I hear that can still be fun. That free roam mode actually acts as a sort of lobby system for the other game types as well.
That's right. Yeah. For the multiplayer versus stuff, you can go free roam into any of the other modes with your posse, so...
See, that's cool. That's cool to me because, you know, think of the amount of times you've, you know, sat there waiting for matchmaking to come up with a result, especially if you come to a game late.
Yeah.
Just trying desperately to find someone with your skill level or whatever, and you're sitting there for 10 minutes. Why not give me the option to go hunt rare bears?
Fair bears?
Rare bears.
Oh, okay.
I'm not hunting myself, sir.
All right, moving on. Hey, speaking of, I missed this segue. Fable 3 allows you to have babies with your co-op partner.
Oh, don't. We can't go into this because Jason and I have already started, you know, signing our prenuptial agreement.
You got a name picked out yet, or what?
I'm not sure yet. I don't know if we're ready to tell. You know, let me talk to Jason.
Okay. But yeah, I don't know about this. It's going to have a lot of... There's going to be a lot of conversations between straight men about who's going to be the woman. That's all I can say.
Well, all I can say is that I bring in a healthy amount of gamer score and Microsoft points, and I think that I can better provide for this child. My gamer score is triple Jason's. I'm just saying. There's a lot of resources.
We'll keep that in mind when the time comes to bear an heir to the kingdom. What else we got here? Oh, Uncharted 2 has a new DLC pack, and it's including a new co-op mode called Siege Mode. It looks kind of like a cross between Domination from like Unreal and any of the Horde survival type modes. So basically, you have to move from place to place, hold that position, and then waves of enemies come at you. It's up to three players. I can't remember. I didn't play a ton of co-op in Uncharted 2.
It required three.
All of the modes required three.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're changing it up with this to be two or three.
I hope so, because that was really annoying.
We should. I'm saying this now. I'm hoping by the time we post this, we should have a great Q&A up with this for this mode, as well as some exclusive content. My fingers are crossed. We might have it tonight. If not, definitely by the time you listen to this, it should be up. I'm curious to see some of the answers we get back on that. Because I asked a lot of co-op specific stuff, how it does in relation to some of the versus modes and stuff like that. So we shall see.
Well, I can make a prediction. You know, remember they said they weren't going to resource any downloadable content for co-op.
Yeah,
but if the co-op did a lot better than they thought it would, maybe they're gonna throw us a bone.
We shall see. You'll have to check the site to find out. So another article that was put out on IGN was from a conference called the Triangle Games Conference. Never heard of it, but apparently some important people were there. Epic Games, Red Storm, Atomic Games, Insomniac. There was a few guys on this panel on it, and it was basically covering first-person shooters and where that genre is going. And the question was asked, you know, what is the thing that you see that is most important to first-person shooters moving forward? And all four panelists agreed that it was cooperative gameplay. That was a pretty interesting read. There's a few good quotes out of that article. But it's good to see that at conferences and things like that where other developers and industry members are sitting in on these panels, that co-op gets brought up like that.
You know who needs to sit in on some of those panels?
No, who?
Well, I think Infinity Ward could have used a few pointers here and there.
Yeah,
and, perhaps... People Can Fly, the developers of Bulletstorm, who actually say in the new Game Informer that they don't want co-op because it ruins their story.
I hate that excuse.
I know. And in a game, pardon my soapbox here, but in a game that prides itself on crazy shot combinations, did you read about it?
I have the issue, but I have not read the article
yet.
Basically,
the character growth is tied to points earned from, killing enemies in creative ways. So, like, you kill an enemy, you get 10 points. You get a headshot on him, you get 50 points. If you wrap him in the chain grenade things and punt him into a group of enemies and explode them all, you get, many points. And they're calling it a skill shot system. And it's creatively combining weapons, the environment, enemies, and whatnot to create unique and interesting ways to kill people. And I can say that playing games like Crackdown really made things like that possible for us.
Yeah.
So adding a second player in, it seems like that would be a natural fit. It's like, okay, you kick that dude into the air and I'll, rocket launcher him and we'll get a combo kill or something. It makes sense. And they're like, oh no, our story is so awesome and we can't possibly count for another player.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the most BS response ever. I mean, play Perfect Dark. There's the blonde Joanna Dark running around and it doesn't make any sense, but the game is still fun.
I think I said this before, but it's like I played through most of Battlefield Bad Company 2, which was a game, you know, everyone would, why doesn't it have co-op? They're like, oh, it just, you know, it doesn't fit in the scope of our story. Well, there's always, in all those games that happens, there always seems to be one mission throughout the entire game that you're solo. The rest of the time you're with a squad.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's so cliched, that whole, like, oh god, you're left out and alone to fend for yourself, you need to regroup with your squad or your friends or whatever. It's just, it's so overplayed to throw that in there. It almost seems like they're like, well, we're not going to have time to include co-op, so we'll have a solo mission and then say it's because of the story.
I just don't get the argument. You know, two players is fun in games that it makes sense to have a second player with you. Why not? Why not include the option? You know, why was the original Contra so fun? Because of its deep, gripping story, or because you could load up 30 lives and play with your buddy?
You know, let's move on.
Mike.
We'll go to some quick ones here. Left 4 Dead 2, the Passing DLC, is out this week. It should be out. I don't know if they actually set a date. I think they just said this week. It's going to be $7 on the 360, and it should be free on the PC. So that's the one that adds the new campaign, as well as some other modes, which they haven't really announced what they are. Where the Left 4 Dead 1 survivors meet the Left 4 Dead 2 survivors. So,
it promises to be good.
Yeah. There's a neat little indie game. This was actually told was at PAX, and Russ Frushstick from the MTV Multiplayer blog was telling us about this game. The game's called Monaco, and he said it's one of the neatest co-op games he's seen. And like, if you look at the game, you're like, what's so great about this? Because it's all paint-looking drawn graphics. It's the best way to describe it. But what it is it's a crime caper game where basically it gets inspiration from, like, Ocean's 11 is actually one that the developer cited as a big inspiration. So, like, you'll play as, you know, a lockpick guy or a hacker guy or a thief guy. And you have to work together and communicate together to break into different places and steal stuff. There's this whole AI system of, you know, Metal Gear style guards that see you and cameras and different things you have to time together and stuff. But it won a few awards at the Independent Game Developers Conference as Best Independent Game. So it looks pretty cool. The guy that it's a woman guy, way to go, Nick. It's a woman team putting it together, and he's not sure what he wants to do with it yet. He's obviously going to release it over Xbox Live Indie Games, but he's not sure if he's going to try and invest some money in it, get a real artist, and then maybe shop it to Xbox Live Arcade and PSN. So keep an eye on that. Splinter Cell Conviction, not only is it out and it's awesome, it also keeps track of your stats and is launching free downloadable content every week. The first piece came out last Friday, and I think they're going to start doing it regularly every Thursday. Mostly, it looks like the content is just guns for your characters. Crackdown 2 will feature thousands of on-screen enemies. Awesome. We posted two videos today of Crackdown 2, and the game cannot come soon enough. Okay, I think my headline basically said it all, is you can attach a car to your head with a rope. Sold.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do have an issue with people saying we can put X number of enemies on screen, because if you remember, that was a selling point for Cameo.
Hey, Cameo was pretty good.
Cameo was pretty good, but yeah, the instances where they had like a million dudes on screen, not really that great.
Yeah.
I forget. It was in the article in Game Informer about the Dead Rising 2. They're saying we can put X number of zombies on screen.
Right.
And they actually said, you know, we put, you know, like 8,000 zombies in a level and found out that it was incredibly unfun to play because you couldn't maneuver.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are limits, you know. Now, if I can take 1,000 zombies and drop a, you know, 5,000-pound warhead on them and blow them all to pieces, that might be pretty cool. But I don't know if I need to see, you know, 1,000 zombies on screen. I'm just saying.
Did you notice in the video today, there's one shot, it's like a 5-second clip, if that, overhead of the new fighting system, the hand-to-hand system?
No, I didn't.
One of the interviews we posted compared it to Batman's, and I'll tell you what, from the top down, it looks a lot like Arkham Asylum's combat system going, it looks like you can lock on the enemies and kind of cycle between and stuff like that.
So no more kicking a guy near a wall and then being unable to figure out where the hell he is?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I will accept this upgrade.
As long as I can still roundhouse my co-op partner off the top of a building, I'm happy. Accidentally roundhouse my co-op partner off the top of a building.
You had to go there.
In our final article, this is a good PSA for everybody. If you haven't noticed, Microsoft quietly changed the point bundles on Xbox Live Arcade, or Xbox Live Marketplace. No longer are they the odd number of points bundles of 500, 1,000, 1,600, and 2,000, I think is what they were, which didn't make sense because the arcade games and content were like 400 and 800, etc. Of course, shortly after they did that, we started seeing more 560-point DLC releases.
Yes. As cool as this is, and it does line up for a great deal of stuff, it doesn't work for DLC, where things are like 160 points for like Rock Band songs and whatnot.
Yeah.
And when your direct competitor, who you're trying to remain, you know, ahead of the curve on, does a one-to-one dollar amount, like anytime you buy something on PSN, not only does it say, okay, this is going to cost you $4.99, but when you hit buy and it asks you to confirm the sale, it adds the point. It adds the funds to your virtual wallet automatically, and it adds the correct amount of money. And
yeah,
then, bam, you're done. With the points, you have to sit there. I want this. Oh, I don't have enough points. Okay, now I have to go to the add points screen and then add my points and wait for it to go through and then go back to my item and get it. It's not streamlined. And if they're trying to line points up with, you know, what things actually cost, why not go the extra step and remove the damn space bucks and just change it to a dollar amount? Why not?
I think the problem now is it's so ingrained in the system that...
I understand that, and I also understand that extra points floating around is in the interest of Microsoft, so they have extra money floating around that they can, you know, pull interest off of or whatever. But I don't know. As much as I think that Xbox Live is a better service than what is currently offered on PSN, buying things on PSN is so much easier.
Here's the thing, though, and this is a point I've seen brought up a lot of times, is the nice thing about Microsoft system is money goes on sale.
Yes, yes, right? That is true.
And actually, Target this week, if you head out to Target, they have so this is a good point, because the PSN dollars are on sale. The $20 card is $17. So money does go on sale.
And you can sometimes get MS point cards for cheaper. So if you're the type of person that buys these point cards, that's a good deal. I'm talking about your average user that just hooks their credit card into the system and says, okay, give me game.
Yeah.
Because the only people I know, really, that buy the point cards are deal hunters, whom there are many, and Cheap Ass Gamer is kind of proof positive of that. And parents who, you know, say, okay, my kid wants stuff off Xbox Live Arcade, but I don't want to give them access to my credit card, so give them, you know, points this way. I get that. But I don't know. I argue for better convenience for me.
No, I agree. I would definitely like to see it go away. And I don't... And the problem is, too, it's not even the Xbox. The Zune Marketplace, too. I mean, that's all in the point system as well.
And BioWare decided that, you know, when you buy the PC downloadable content for its stuff, that you have to buy BioWare points.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I don't know. The Wii uses points, but at least its points are, you know, 1 point is 1 cent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it has to. From what I understand, it mostly has to do with conversion rates across different
regions. Yeah,
regions. It simplifies it for them and stuff like that. I don't know.
But this is America.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm just kidding. We have plenty of readers elsewhere. But, you know, it's America.
Let's talk about upcoming co-op releases.
Let's do that.
There's a few. Serious Sam 2, Serious Sam HD, The Second Encounter, is coming to PC at the end of the month. Along
that was
with
fast.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised when I saw that was coming already as well. It will come to Xbox Live Arcade, but it doesn't have a date on that version yet.
It'll probably be delayed a lot like the other one.
You know what I just realized? I still haven't played the Happy Fun Time mode in Serious Sam HD.
You should correct that.
I need to remedy that situation. The cool thing, though, about this, and this is a reason to pre-order the PC version. I'm usually not one for pre-order bonuses, but the Steam version of Serious Sam HD, if you pre-order, you will have Ugzon, I think is his name, the giant boss from the end of Serious Sam, as a playable character. You can use him.
Oh, you can,
yeah, exactly. I don't know how that works, but I want to do it. Also, on the 28th of this month is Xenoclash Ultimate Edition on Xbox Live Arcade. Yeah, it keeps getting pushed. It was supposed to be the end of March, then it was supposed to be the first week of April. Then they just put an announcement out that was just said, quote-unquote, April.
I realize it's been out on Steam for a while, but I really want to play this game.
Well, they've added quite a bit of content. There's like three brand new modes, including the co-op mode that it's going to get. It does look pretty cool, so.
And I'd seen a lot of the weird character designs, but you know, it wasn't until recently when I saw a more in-depth, you know, video of, you know, the actual game systems and how it works, and it's just so damn the art style is so damn strange, but it's like it looks a lot like playing Double Dragon in first person, but you can use guns and grenades and stuff, but you can like, you know, throw combos at enemies and throw them into each other and, you know, knee people in the face in first person. It just seems crazy and insane.
Yeah, it seems like a good fit for a console game for sure.
Yeah. And it's from, like, Chile or something really crazy. It's, like, South American or something.
Yeah. And a final upcoming release is Kick-Ass on PSN, based off the movie of the same name. I get a big Watchmen, The End Is Nigh vibe from this one.
Ugh.
Yeah, it looks pretty scary. But who knows? It might be decent. The iPhone version already is out. Not that that would be any better, but we'll see.
Who knows?
What do we do on the site? We had a couple reviews. Mike talked earlier about Din's Curse. Final Fight Double Impact, which we touched on as well, and Jim checked out Army of Two Chapters of Deceit, and he also put up his review of Splinter Cell Conviction today, so check those out. We had a bunch of features, so we've been getting a lot of good previews and kind of interviews and stuff lately. We had a, while not co-op, we asked the inevitable question of why the hell isn't there co-op in our Iron Man 2 Q&A, because yes, there is Iron Man and there is War Machine. It just seemed to make sense to have co-op. But there's not, so you'll find out why if you check out that Q&A. We posted a contest for Design Your Own Co-op T-shirt. We're partnering with Split Reason on that, and basically come up with anything. Even if you don't have to, if you don't have art skills, just describe what you want it to look like, and that's good enough for us. The winning entry can win themselves some Split Reason goods. We're going to kick in some Amazon gift certificates. And then if the design's good enough and Split Reason really likes it, you could win and have it published, which would be pretty cool. We had an interview with the producer from Dungeon Fighter Online, which is a really cool MMO-ish beat-em-up. We also had a video interview from PAX with Mommy's Best Games, Nathan Fouts. And he kind of talks a little bit about him. That's another indie developer that's a, well, it's a two-person team, but it's a one-programmer team. He talks about Shoot One Up and Grapple Buggy and Weapon of Choice a bit. So it's a pretty interesting short interview. Mark posted up the most co-op character class ever, which he claims is EverQuest's Bard.
I take exception to this.
I'll let you guys duke it out offline somewhere else, but I was surprised that we didn't get more argument. Actually, I think a couple of people came in and agreed with them. I played EverQuest for all of about 2 months, and I never played the Bard, so I wouldn't know. And finally, we had a preview of a unique puzzle game coming out from Arkane Games, those guys that made AI War, and it's called Titleist. And it's a match 3 game, but it looks to be... It's not like a time-based match 3 game. Instead, what you do is, like, you line up gems or pieces, and there's directions assigned to them. And when you launch, like, a clear... It follows those directions, and whatever other clears it hits in that path, it chains together. I know that's really tough to describe in audio, but if you check out the preview, you'll get a good idea of what I'm talking about. It looks pretty interesting, and of course it's going to have co-op. And actually, from what we hear from Chris Park, the game's producer, there's going to be a couple different co-op modes for that. So check that out. And I think that's it.
Is it?
I believe so. Unless I missed something. Unless something breaking happened right now as we're recording this.
No, I just think you need to, you know, tell everybody to leave feedback on iTunes, to follow us on Twitter at Co-Optimus without the dash.
Exactly. So do what Mike said. That would be awesome of you. And, yeah, that was a pretty solid episode.
We had a lot to talk about.
We did. Lots of good co-op stuff this week. It's probably going to get pretty busy the next couple of weeks. Well, I predict probably the next show will be busy, and then it'll be quiet for about a couple of weeks. Then we'll have lots of E3 rumors. And then E3, which Jason and I will be attending.
Hooray.
So that should be pretty good. I just found out today that we got invited to see Portal 2 Behind Closed Doors. Thumbs up on that.
I hate you so much right now.
Hey, I offered.
I know, there's just no way I can go to E3 this year.
You have this baby thing or something.
Who needs to take care of them?
Alright, so I am Nick, that is Mike. Thanks for listening to the Co-op Cast.
Let's dance in style, let's dance for a while. Heaven can wait, we're only watching the skies. Hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. Are you gonna drop the bomb or not? Let us die young or let us live forever. We don't have the power, but we never say never. Sitting in a sandpit, life is a short trip. The music's for the sad man. Forever young, I wanna be forever.
Hey, may the best of your todays be the worst of your tomorrows. We ain't even thinking that far. You know what I mean? So we living life like a video. Where the sun is always out and you never get old. And the champagne's always cold and the music's always good. And the pretty girls just happen to stop by in the hood. And they hop their pretty ass up on the hood of that pretty ass car without a wrinkle in today. Cause there's no tomorrow, just a picture perfect day that lasts a whole lifetime. And it never ends, cause all we have to do is hit rewind. Let's just stay in the moment, smoke some weed, drink some wine, reminisce, talk some shit, forever young is in your mind. Leave them off, they can't erase neither space nor time. So when the director yells cut, I'll be fine. I'm forever young.
Forever young, I wanna be forever young. Do you really want to live?
nothing to fear, not why. Fear not much while we're alive. Life is for living, I'm living uptight. See you somewhere up in the sky. Fear not die, I'll be alive for a million years. Bye-byes are not for legends, I'm forever young. My name shall survive. Through the darkest blocks, over kitchen stoves, over pirates' pots, my name shall be passed down to generations while debating up in barbershops. Young slung, hung here, showed it a nigga from here. With a little ambition, just what we can become here. And as the father passed the story down to his son's ears, younger kid, younger every year, yeah. So if you love me, baby, this is how you let me know. Don't ever let me go, that's how you let me know, baby.